Forever! Dog!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
I am rolling.
Veronica's not here, so a somber beginning to honestly what I expect to be a wonderful pair of episodes. Today on our episode, we are covering Gambit, a truly great pair of episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 7. And Veronica is here. She's just kind of hooking up her sound system.
Veronica just showed up. She's chronically late to stuff, and we gave up on her and started recording, and now she is here hooking
my
her stuff up.
My co-host today, we're having Veronica Osorio as a guest later in the episode, but my co-host today, you know him, Lieutenant Commander Stevens on Lower Deck, but also a writer on Lower Deck. You've seen him on College
Lower
Humor.
Decks.
Please welcome my Dex. Please welcome my contrary guest of honor and also co-host Ben Rogers.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me back.
Oh my God, I'm
what? What's going on?
Don't you say things.
Oh, don't I don't say things? All right.
No, do say things. Oh Jesus Christ.
It's a classic episode of Treks in the City. Hey, at least you guys told me to watch the right episode this time. This is like
That's
a huge
true.
Step up.
We
Last
are,
time I was on, you gave me the wrong episode to watch.
We are stepping our shit right up. Let's make sure that you, Veronica, are recording. Okay. Well, go ahead and do that.
If you have been listening to silence, Veronica has been talking and not recording.
We used to be neighbors. Mm-hmm. And now everything's changed. So much has changed for me and for you. And you are not my neighbor anymore because you moved. And I also moved. I'm in my brand new house in, I'm not going to say where it is because people listen to this podcast.
The freaks that listen to this podcast will track you down.
Bunch of fucking pervs. Mm-hmm. And
What is the percentage of pervs to non-pervs listening to Trek in the City right now?
Perps. Perps and perps.
Possible perps.
Possible perps. Not yet accused. Like people who have yet to be accused. 60-40? A lot of female pervs, though. So I feel
that's fun. Mixing it up.
Yeah.
Everybody think, I would say, you know, you say perv, first thing that pops in your head, probably a guy.
Okay. Well,
that was great.
Ben Rogers,
great
everybody.
Joke, great intro. Oh, thank you.
All right, guys, calm down.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Simmer down. Oh, come on.
Ben, can I just say, like, that between your bandana and your hair and that, like, whatever foot that is and cat and the plant.
Totally.
I'm like,
New Ben.
I got a lot going on. Yeah, I mean, but it looks like kind of too perfect. I have one critique, and it's just like it looks great. Too great, maybe?
Too great. Yeah, it's a criticism I get often. Look too great.
Just from like...
It just looks awesome.
Like sort of a reverse backhanded catcall. Hey, come on, you're looking too great. Tone it down.
Come on, smile less. Tone it down.
Be great if
you lighten
men,
up the room too bright.
If
who,
men
who
told,
throws that at you?
Like if men were telling women to smile, but then they saw a guy smiling and they're like, hey, quit smiling. Like they tell the guys to stop.
Whoa, stop smiling. What are you so happy about?
So the entire problem this entire time has been about smiles and gender.
You nailed it.
That's what we're saying.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Nailed it again. This is one of my favorite podcasts. It's fucking smooth as butter, baby. Every time.
I hate you. So critical.
I'm just like not trying not to engage with this, but I'm very upset right now. Because I don't have a way to defend myself because of how I entered. So I'm like, fuck.
Every time.
I am curious, like when you record an episode normally and
never normally
you stop and you take your headphones off, like, do you just keep them on and walk around the house? Like, I'm curious, like, where do you think they could have gone?
I have
this type of shit.
My type of ADD is like, it's a backstabber, because then I'll find coffee in the freezer from a week ago, or like random, like, I don't know, anything, like a lotion in the stove and shit like that.
I
and
have
I'm
the
always
same
like,
thing.
Who did this? Mm-hmm. And then
I have
it's
the same
me.
Thing.
I just like,
what's
black
frustrating
out
is
as I do things, my body keeps going. In fact, like every time I do breath work or any kind of breathing exercises, all the memories that come back are about those times in between.
Me too.
Where I like go away. I go away.
I've had that happen.
That's like, to bring it back to Star Trek, I think that's the ancient Vulcans. They used to have that problem until they changed their lifestyle.
Discovered peace.
They
right.
discovered mm-hmm. peace, which is like the big reveal of the end of this is peace, ultimately, right?
All right. Well, we covered the episodes.
Yeah, that's it. We just took a direct route to the end, and that's the secret amazing. Is peace.
So that was a really big, like, fucking, come on. At the end, I thought of a pretty great pair of episodes, but I was going to tell a story that I have the same thing, Veronica. And it's like, I have a thing where what's normal, when you normally lose something, you know, Ben, how you'll have that thing and you'll find it and you'll go, oh, I remember putting this here. Often I experience where I have no recollection of putting it somewhere. Like, I'll find the thing on a shelf.
You're a second like, other person.
It's like, there's another part of my brain at work. It's like I feel like I'm Ganesh and I have other arms that are like secretly taking things and putting them in other places while I'm not paying attention. It is so frustrating.
A little devil Ganesh.
A little devil. Cutie. So thanks for understanding.
Yeah, no, I feel bad for you guys. That sucks to just be
well,
like,
we do want your
have
pity.
A hidden enemy in there hiding stuff on you.
Yes. I've been doing very, very heavy meditations on it. It could be
heavy.
Esoteric or it could be sci-fi, like however you want to explain it. It's like,
Do you like light incense and stuff? How deep into the meditation stuff are you getting?
When I go and meet that other guy that does things when I'm...
What?
Yeah, let's follow that. When you go meet the other guy.
The other me, the other dude, the dude of...
Okay. I thought I was like a guru or something. I was kind of worried.
Yeah, I was. You're just an onion. You just like keep just. There's a new series of questions with every answer. Like,
I feel like saying I'm sorry, but I also feel.
No, you should be saying you're
like
welcome.
I should just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a you're welcome situation.
You're welcome. So, no, I don't do like, sometimes I do incense and stuff. I mostly just like, at this point, 2020, I've been meditating so hard so many times that it's like, I have visions pretty quickly. If I want answers for anything, I'll just go in like, but it's with like objects in like real world when I'm awake, I have to be like, I have to do like therapy stuff, like pause. Take a breath, see my body position. I do like somatic medicine just to, therapy just to get myself back in my body because I will drift off forever.
What do you think's worse, the like 2020 or the future that they go to in Deep Space Nine where like everybody in LA is homeless?
I mean, everybody in San LA Francisco. Is homeless.
San Francisco?
They just could be. They could be on any number of streets when they film those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's pretty much that street under the bridge by Franklin that just is Deep Space Nine.
Isn't it? Kind of like cynical that they take a bunch of people, they hire them, as extras, and then they dress them as a bunch of homeless people, and then they go and film it in the streets.
Oh, that's so true.
And by future, I mean the past in Deep Space Nine, but at the time, it was supposed to be the future.
The future.
Okay, the future of us.
Lay off me.
No, don't worry. The pervs are not coming for you for that. They're coming for you for other reasons.
To just like trim my mustache hair and put it in
yeah,
the fucking
if that's
bag.
Their thing.
And get turnt by it.
Snort my fucking mustache hairs.
Speaking of pervs, one time my ex-boyfriend used to paint like interiors for rich people, and he would do, the company he worked for would do like murals and stuff. And there was this kid, he was painting like a rich kid's room. And the mom was like, just do whatever he says. And so at first he did these like hyper realistic, like sports, you know, like a bat and a ball and a glove, like sort of like realistically, like they would do this often, like leaning against a wall. But then the guy was like, I also want like dinosaurs in it. Okay, great. And then he kept expanding it. And at one point he was like, ooh, also that guy from Family Guy. I want that guy, Quagmire. So there's just had to paint Quagmire. There's like hyper realistic stuff and then Quagmire. Every time I think about it, it makes me so happy. I hope they didn't change it.
I thought for sure he was going to be like, now how about a big pair of boobies? Well, like I thought it was going to be something like that.
The equivalent.
I mean, I'm into that. I had a dinosaur on my wall for way too long. My mom painted it on the wall when I was a kid. And then like there was never an offer to paint over it at any time. Like it was just there. So I had to like cover it up with other shit as I got older. And you could kind of see like fucking T-Rex arms poking out from like behind a poster and shit.
Why were you so disempowered to think about paint?
It's a great question.
There you go, Terry Gross.
It's a great question. Why was I so disempowered to think about paint? I'm going to have a long session with the old therapist about that one.
And this episode, again, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Sherwin-Williams, paint your world it with joy.
Yeah, your parents don't like, if you go to the basement and get like a fucking can of paint, they're going to be like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, how old
drip
are you,
shit all over the floor.
But did you assume it or did you ask?
Also, yeah, I'm kind of wondering because like there was
Ben's face.
Points in my childhood where I was allowed to paint my room.
Me too. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I guess maybe I should have been fucking stronger. You're right.
I'm so sorry.
I should have.
Ben,
like,
also you're like wiling
myself
out right now in terms of what's actually on your walls. It's just like a guy's leg. I assume he's a karate guy.
This is an old prop from Workaholics. It's a Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Cardboard cutout from I think season 6 of Workaholics.
Yeah. It looks like you're in like a really fun bathroom, but it's actually those are sound absorbing things.
These are sound absorbent tiles. I don't know how good a job they do, or this you're the second person to bring up the bathroom look of this place.
It's the plant.
Are they it's the ceramics. No?
And that your hair is wet.
Is it ceramics? Like how do they work? Are they did you glue them there?
Yeah, they just stick on. They're not
foam,
ceramic.
Right?
They're just foam. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Maybe. I don't think
hair
ceramics
is not
would
wet,
do a very good job.
But and now you're making me think maybe I got to wash my hair.
Hey, just what we need is a dry shampoo in this situation. You don't need to wash it. You just got to get some of that Trex in the City brand dry shampoo. Buy some at your local Amazon. Did you know you have a local Amazon? You do kind of have a local Amazon in terms of which country you're in. I had to sign up for a different Amazon when I went to Canada. So
I've lived through it.
Good to know. It's
right.
Basically local.
Well, that's been that segment. How's your dog?
Jane is great.
Human name.
She, a lot of fireworks in the Los Angeles area throughout the pandemic. And she's not crazy about that. And so she will frequently find the most uncomfortable looking place to hide during the fireworks.
For her or for you to reach?
For her. She'll find, I mean, she'll be near me, but she'll like dig, like she tried, digging out a bunch of stuff from a bookshelf and hiding under that. Like I had to move stuff out so she could get under there. She's smart. She's learned some new tricks. She can jump. I can make my arms into a ring and she can jump through.
That's cool.
I couldn't even do that when we tried that trick.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time. You got a lot of treats.
Spent a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of, well, got treats. You know what? Got to think about those treats.
Yeah. We're working on barking on command.
I did get that one.
That's our latest trick that we're trying out.
Why would that be? I guess, why would you need that? But maybe because it's like
she barks a lot. And I would say there's a really high probability we're going to hear her at some point in the recording of this podcast. And
yes.
Supposedly, yeah. If you teach your dog to speak, they bark on their own a lot less. It's one of those weird counterintuitive things.
Right. That makes total sense.
So like, they're like, well, I'm barking to try to get this dude's attention. Now I know some words. I don't need to be like, wow, wow.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Wow, wow.
Okay.
So you go like this and you say speak and she does it.
And she's like, wow, wow.
Mm-hmm. She's like, wow,
essentially.
Wow.
Essentially. I got you to say it.
You know, in Spanish, all the animal sounds are very different than in English.
Lay some on us.
I
want to know.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
So, like, what a cat in English is meow. What is it in Spanish?
It's like cupacara or something. It's like
something
completely
like
insane.
It's like meow, 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 meow.
Okay, well, that was pretty similar.
It's identical.
You're right.
Very, very similar on that one.
You write M-I-A-U, meow.
Okay.
Spelling is different at least.
Okay, what about a cow?
That one's spelling. Moo?
A cow says moo.
Okay, and in Spanish?
M-U, but okay, there's like an animal that's...
This is completely the same sound.
Now, is a dog not, like, what about a dog? A dog is not bark?
Dog says, wow, wow.
Okay, so here we say bow wow.
No, so, you say woof woof. No.
Yeah, it's that's true. Another one.
There is a
bow
region
wow is also
is,
thrown
in, which
in the
bow
mix.
Wow is not as accepted as woof woof.
You say woof, and we say wow. In Russian, dogs say gaff gaff, gaff gaff,
gaff gaff,
gaff gaff.
So Anna knows Russian. She's laying on us some new Russian animal sounds.
What about?
It's very different.
A chicken.
We say cluck cluck in English.
Pio 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 pio.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, that's the one. The one that
pio pio
pio pio, okay, like so... pi like the Pope, P-I-O.
Oh, pio pio. Sure.
Pio pio. Pio pio. I like that one. It's like shooting a ray gun.
A tiny chicken.
Shooting chickens. Mm-hmm. You know that this episode has the longest laser phaser fight in all of TNG. 70 shots.
Damn.
And it's in good old Griffith Park.
Yeah.
Speaking of my dog, like that was like what I thought was like, oh, I know exactly where this is.
Really? Where?
Yeah. It's if you go up that trail on Commonwealth and take a loop around, there's a little inlet. It's got a name. It's called like Cedar Grove or something like that.
Of course.
And it's this little tucked away. It looks a little bit more woodland than the rest of the trail because the rest of the trail looks pretty dusty. And there it's got pines and stuff and it looks like an actual forest. And it's just really tiny and they film a ton of stuff there. And then if you keep going up that curve, there's this great overlook of the city and it's where they film a ton of car commercials. So there are always like stop. You go for a hike with your dog and there'd be some crew guy with a headset on like being like, oh, please stop, or like waving you through. But that fight was in that little spot. I think there's a couple fake looking rocks, obviously, that they threw in there.
Oh, man. I'd love to have a fake rock from TNG.
The fake rocks were fake because they had to do everything in post because it was fire season. So they couldn't
pew,
really.
Pew.
Yeah.
They couldn't use really. Actual lasers like they normally did.
Yeah. They had to switch.
Most of the
to
budget's
Earth
on
tricks.
Lasers. Which they use lasers for phasers most of the time.
This is interesting, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime!
Ben, I have a question. So you worked in Lower Decks.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, this question brought to you by Anna, our producer, who is...
This is, yeah, Anna, the producer's
guiding
question.
Our...
Vero is now pawning off as her own question. But...
I am inspired on my own. I'm inspired on my own. And then I'm seeing the chat that says something. Mm-hmm. So last time we had you in the pod, you were kind of unable to share much
mysterious
about anything, and now the show has premiered. And
yeah, the show hadn't been announced last time I was on. Wow. So I couldn't really talk about it because CBS is a real scaredy cats about everything.
I mean, they're scary cats.
Mm-hmm, they're scary.
They're scary cats, right?
Yeah,
I'm terrified.
And so
now we can say what show it is because it's out. It's been out, making season two.
Yeah, Star Trek Lower Decks.
It's a show that we all enjoy, except nobody has seen it besides me. Well, yeah. I mean, the whole world has seen it.
The whole world, the people, the small portion of people who have CBS All Access have seen it, which is
here's the people who have seen it.
That was the 100 curse.
People.
There they are.
That was a curse I lived through.
Yeah.
There's a curse you lived through?
Well, being in a CBS All Access show, and it's like, oh my God, people who are on CBS All Access love it. But the people who are on CBS All Access are like, 100 people. 10.
Yeah, it's weird. I have CBS All Access. I don't watch anything on it other than
I watch like so many shows on it.
Star Trek.
It's like the main place where I watch shows. Star Trek, Discovery, Lower Decks,
The New
Good
MacGyver,
Wife, The Good Fight,
Survivor,
Strange Angel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These are my shows. I don't watch Interrogation because I'm on it and I have a sex scene and it's incredibly cringy. And I'm not saying that like, oh, it's hard for me to watch. I am very bad.
What minute?
What minute? How sexy?
Super sexy. The sex part is actually not that bad. It's actually incredibly normal and doesn't seem like, that doesn't seem, the parts when I'm cringy are like, when I'm like, hi, I seem like I'm in a different show than everybody else. Like people are like, hey, we're normal. And I'm like, hey, I'm acting. It's so crazy. Like,
was the filming comfortable and stuff?
Yeah, I was like, oh, the director will tell me if I'm being too, and nope. It was just like, I don't think I can even address that. I don't have time.
One of the first things I ever did, I did a, like, it was essentially a student film. And it was, this girl wrote it, and it was about a dominatrix who meets a regular guy, and she wants to date him, but, like, is afraid to tell him that she's a dominatrix. So I played this regular guy and we're supposed to have a sex scene and I'd never really done a sex scene before. So I'm kind of nervous and, we're both kind of naked and we're in bed and we're trying to like pretend like we're having sex. And then you look over and there's like a little overweight guy with a smoke machine, just like blasting fucking random shit. It's hard to stay present.
I will say that like the reason it was easy is because like I feel like acting gets easier the closer the person's face that you're acting with is to you. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to like overdo it when somebody's right here. Your voice is quieter, your expressions are more subdued, you're not like so.
I get like there's two routes as always with me. There's like that over, like, I feel my face is so chill, and then I see what I've done, and it's like, wow, she's made of,
yes, same,
of melted plaster or something. It's crazy. And then the second one is like, I am feeling so many feelings and like really present and in the moment. And then I see that I rewatch the thing and it just looks like, yeah, like flat, like a flat, just, and I'm like, where are all the emotions?
It's lighting.
It's crazy. You always have to like, I don't know. From Natalie Portman's masterclass, I learned two things regarding what we're saying. One, with the overweight new guy doing the smoke.
She has a specific direction about that.
A full class, a chapter.
I'm Natalie Portman, and here's my first lesson.
I'm Natalie Portman.
When,
so she's like...
very good impression of Natalie Portman.
She's just like, I love her. So she says that you have to take the entire room around you because there's so much happening in a set, even though you're just like pretending to be this like intimate whatever conversation, and you kind of like take it all and put it behind your eyes, like as if the entire room could be inside your brain, and so that you feel like, I don't know, it's a way to acknowledge that things are moving around you and just like, and you're not, it's just not being affected by it instead of just like flowing with it. And I found that very useful. It's crazy.
So I think the next podcast you should do is just you re-explaining Natalie Portman's masterclass and just kind of like going through each lesson and just saying what you liked or didn't like about it.
It's weird that it's going to last probably like a very long time. 3 seasons of this new podcast.
Wait, and how long is the actual lesson?
Like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. it's less, like a 4-hour total thing. And the second thing she said... I fully forgot. Oh, no. She said, like, you should check the takes after because sometimes you really don't know how your face is moving, what it's doing. So if they let you, you should try to, like, see, like, a playback or something.
It's tough. I don't know how you guys do it, watching yourself and stuff. I straight up can't do it. I found some, and I haven't acted on camera in a while. Now I mostly just do, like, voiceover work like on fucking Lower Decks or something, but I was emptying out space on my computer and I found a bunch of self tapes I made over the years.
I would brutal to see those.
Brutal.
You should have a Patreon for people to just
to see my
those
old self tapes.
I would pay.
That's actually a pretty good idea. That.
I think it is a good idea.
I thought about putting my self tapes on like a private thing. Where you have to give me money.
My OnlyFans is just old self-tape.
OnlyFans for acting reels is a great idea because I would love to see so many people's self-tapes from the past or just from currently. Janie, Paula F. Tompkins' wife, does it sometimes. She'll put all her self-tapes on Instagram and it's fascinating.
I'm always shocked when people do that.
It's fascinating.
I'm always shocked too. I like have been putting photos, like just screenshots or just stills of self-tapes in my Instagram lately. For shits and giggles. And then every time I see it, I'm like, whoa, it is a commitment to like being a certain type of person.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even put a photo of myself on Instagram, much less a fucking like self tape.
Oh, my Instagram is a shrine for myself.
Yeah, it is.
And that's, yeah, I'm jealous of people who can do that.
That is my thesis. Like, how much can I just do my own?
Did you say thesis?
My thesis.
My thesis.
My thesis.
You're deliberately making them sound.
You're leaning into it, definitely.
So the I wonder if the paint thing has to do with not being able to look at a photo of yourself. Is it part of it? Like your mom not letting you paint?
Yeah, and well, you know, I painted a bunch. I was a pretty artistic person, so. It was more, I think, actual wall paint.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's that. And that's the end of our ability to therapize Ben. But if you would like to get therapy, go to BetterHelp. Does that count as an ad? Can it be an ad? Thanks.
Is that a place? BetterHelp. Go to BetterHelp.
BetterHelp. Better Don't go help. To BetterHelp. BetterHelp okay. gets mad at us. And we get docked, actually, pay every time somebody checks out BetterHelp.
And you get doxed. They'll put your address and stuff online, which seems right fucked online. Up from like a therapy place.
It's true. Well, BetterHelp isn't a therapy place. It's a doxing company. So this episode of Star Trek, there's a Netflix title, obviously. What? All right.
There's well, a Netflix.
This is Gambit.
There's
Gambit
a Netflix
one, title. Gambit two.
According to Netflix, this episode is called Gambit One.
I don't know.
Followed by Gambit Two. It's a two-parter. It's pretty funny.
While investigating the death of Captain Picard, Riker is abducted by a group of intergalactic archaeological thieves. Now that's the intro for episode one. And fuck, what, Veronica?
I have investigating Picard's apparent death.
Just you have like a different a
second
one?
Version. No, I just have a Memory Alpha one.
Oh, okay.
You guys could also like, because you guys watched the episode, you could say it, like, you know, just come up with it.
No, we like to read what the internet thinks it's about.
Okay.
So that we can critique that.
So we can break down what you think it's about. Okay.
Wait, we could say it.
We could say it.
Alice.
We could say it. It's an emotional episode. It's about basically people think Picard's dead. Of course he's not dead, because we know there's more episodes after it. But
I thought he was dead the whole time. I couldn't
even after
believe
he reappeared.
Did it? Yeah, I thought it was just a clone.
It might be, but there's
I'm Galen.
And isn't Galen the
a smuggler
name?
Named Galen?
Isn't the name Galen from like the Inner Light episode? Wasn't that his name?
No, I can't remember his name, but his
somebody's
his
name
buddy's
was Galen.
Name is Pad Thai.
No,
his like professor, his like old
his
mentor
buddy's name is
Galen.
Katai.
Katai, yeah.
Galen. Someone's name is Galen.
Katai.
Katai.
Galen was an alias.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, just yeah. This episode?
Okay. We had the action figure of Galen in the writer's room at Lower Decks, and
no.
It would always, because the toys, I love those Playmate toys, because they made one for fucking everything, and I used to always, but they still look like toys.
Is that the one you sent me a picture of?
Yeah.
The one that I have, the Tasha Yar?
The idea of some kid being like, oh my God, Picard is Galen! Yeah, I love you, Dad! You got it. It's Picard as the traitor, Galen, as the intergalactic smuggler.
Oh my God! It's the mercenary Octon Betar. Ah,
what?
My favorite.
I do like those version ones.
Veronica, you'd like a Torres or a Salazar.
Dad, you got me the outrageous Akona. Oh my gosh!
This is
the best Christmas ever.
Did they make one for the guy that's made out of melty mascara in the episode where Tasha Yar dies?
Oh yeah, fucking
what's his
Armus.
Name? Armus, an Armus doll that would rule. That would make a cool paperweight.
Be my friend.
He's not even. No, he doesn't want you to be your friend. He hates you.
He's like fucking Oscar the Grouch.
How can we manage to extract Armus out of this country? That's what I'm wondering.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
the way
like,
to talk about
yo,
it.
Yo, sorry to get real here.
If you
but how
thought
do
we weren't
going to
get real,
the fuck out.
You should have honestly not shown up today because we are going to get real, honey.
Yo, I'm sorry, honey. I gotta get real here. Let's get Armus the fuck out of here.
What we really need to deal with is Armus. Let me see.
Can you imagine people like in the planet where Armus used to live, podcasting about him, just being like, "Come on, guys! Like, there's got to be a better way." Just in like,
the resistance against Armus.
Yeah, or just even like the idea that there's some.
We're now cutting to news that Armus has taken over the capital. We go now to Armus.
All right. I love when the news drowns out the reporters.
It always happens. Every time Alice plays something, I'm like...
Yeah. All right. The advertisers might have a problem with that one. You couldn't hear any of the copy. It was just all noise.
Like some voice was interrupting the song.
It's not loud. It's certainly very loud to me. How about this? Yeah,
you know what?
Yeah. Can you still hear things?
Yeah. Yeah. I can still hear you. This works.
But this wouldn't be the part when people are talking. Hi.
And we're just
welcome.
Getting news.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh, turns out both newscasters showed up today, even though one called in sick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just came to look for some things and heard the music.
I would gladly watch this news, this vibe in the news. Hi. Oh, hi.
so unprepared from the get.
Oh.
Let me put these chips away.
Somebody's always eating. Sorry, I didn't have a minute. I just came. Have you been in a place by the subway? All right. We got to get into this episode, you guys. We got to get into it. Yeah, there's so many good moments. And it was honestly, I want to go right to the confrontation with Troy and Riker in the ready room because it's amazing. Ooh.
She's just like,
I feel like we should preamble
yelling.
A little bit.
Yes,
to
we should preamble a little
talk
bit.
Talk about what happens before that because it's going to be kind of confusing that Captain Picard is just dead. But basically, they're on Star Wars planet. What's the planet where Ben, you'll know things. What's the bar in Star Wars?
The cantina?
That they always replicate on this show. Whenever they want to do like...
I mean, Star Wars definitely set the standard for space bars. Yeah. And this is their version of, you know, the cantina scene or Jabba the Hutt's fucking place.
Yeah,
This is like Draken 3 or whatever, and it's the bar. So they're
They got a bunch of great cast of characters in there.
Great cast of characters. So there is one guy who knows what happened. They're basically tracking Picard. They find his DNA. There's like one guy...
Real weasel.
And everybody's playing their part. You know, Deanna's like hitting on somebody and Riker's like, great story, guys. It's like getting along with people.
Worf came up with a funny little cover story that some guy knocked up Riker's sister.
And it actually works, which is amazing. It's the only thing that worked to get any information out of anybody, which is pretty advanced.
Crusher finally gets a little badass moment, right? Where she's the one
she's the one like... With her like beret, her leather beret.
Yeah. I like when they like Crusher, they like let her do something other than, it never really looks right, but.
Something other than saying, I don't know.
Commander, I told. My friend tells me you know something about the man we're looking for.
The only reason I'm talking to you is that I have a sister too.
I explained to him that we are looking for a man who impregnated your sister. So you can imagine how much this means to me.
Family honor is important. If someone had defiled my sister, I would do anything. Anything to find the one responsible.
I got defiled.
And
like...
how much might anything be?
Everybody's been defiled.
I know. Of gold. Why does it automatically that she's been defiled? Maybe she wanted to get pregnant. She's been trying for years.
Look, this guy has my same hair. Look. On your way, you're
I'm sorry, but I think he wants to stay. Sit down.
That's my sister. She's angry. She's got a vicious temper. I wouldn't cross her.
You say one word, and you're...
All right, so...
So look, the big bartender. Okay, Vero's doing a good impression of the guy.
Ooh, that is kind
Don't
of.
You see it?
Mm-hmm. It's a good impression. Doing it.
She's doing a great impression. Kind of using her hair to give herself a double chin. It, you got to use your imagination a little bit.
A mustache.
There's a little bit of a discrepancy with this scene. That he's like, oh, he impregnated your sister. You're picturing this damsel, you know, this teen, this like innocent child. Person and then Beverly comes up
back on Worf's lie,
and then it's like they're acting like this woman was impregnated against her will, and it's this like late 40s woman.
Yeah, no.
Whoa, come on, she's not that old.
Well, she's still impregnating it
The guy's not like, wait, that's the lady who got pregnant?
I mean, shouldn't she like
keep it?
Maybe like, it's a good thing. I don't know. She probably wasn't expecting to get pregnant at this point in her life.
I mean, you know,
like it's a miracle.
She had to think about it. Let's just say she should think about it.
I mean, I'm just giving a lot of credit to Worf that this was his story.
It's genius. Worf never comes up with a clever plan.
And it seems kind of tame for Worf.
Have you ever asked a friend who's not like artistic to write a story and then you read it and you're like, and that's why you don't.
Damn.
Yeah,
no.
Most of my friends who aren't artistic, I'm like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to write me a little story before I go to bed?
They're like, oh yeah, we're just about to watch the game. Oh, could you put on a puppet show instead?
We got a couple minutes to kill. Like, just write up a little story for me. I know you do accounting most of the day, but I think you got a story in there somewhere.
I know you're on the LA Parks and Recreation Board, and you're the person responsible for booking out all the different parks and fields for Little League teams. But actually, that is kind of creative. Who am I to say what's
Commander,
creative?
Commander, I told him someone fingered your sister's butthole. Worf. Why?
Commander, I told him your sister had a safe word, and that the safe word was popcorn, but he didn't know what it was. And so when they got into it, like really into it, and anyway, so this, they figure out that Worf is, I mean, that Captain Picard is dead. He's definitely dead. Even though on this show, it being space, this is the second episode we've actually covered where somebody's like, well, there's somebody's just dead. Oh, well, like the last episode we watched, Geordi's mom was dead. And everybody's like, well, she's just dead. We haven't found her, so she's probably dead. And it's like, wait, it's space. This happens all the time. We should really, you have to really verify if somebody's dead, but whatever.
Yo, listen, y'all, it's space.
That's what I'm saying. But
they do some CSI shit and, you know, they fucking spray the wall. They figure out he's dead.
This is
a great scene.
But then, so.
Look at the staging of this shit.
What about it? Be the one to deliver the
eulogy. It's classic kind of TV stuff where they're both looking out into space and Riker's like way up in the foreground. She's over his shoulder in the background.
Deanna, you mean?
The way no one ever talks.
We face up to what's happened. You're in command now. The crew's looking to you for guidance.
You don't understand. I can't give the eulogy because I won't be at the service.
Well, a memorial service helps to give everyone a sense of completion. Helps them begin the healing process.
That's exactly the point. I don't want to heal.
Will.
I have an open wound. Right here, it hurts like hell. I don't want it to get better. And I don't want to pretend that everything's all right.
I know you're angry.
You're damn right!
Here we go. This is what I'm talking about.
Seriously.
And I intend to stay angry until I find whoever's responsible for the captain's death.
Well, that's pretty selfish of you. Do you think you're the only one in pain? Do you think you have the monopoly on loss? Well, let me tell you something. We're all hurting, and we're all angry. And whether you like it or not, you have a responsibility to this crew. And you can't just indulge your personal desire for revenge.
That is enough, Counselor. Deanna, I'm sorry.
Amazing.
This is where I want kiss.
This is not about revenge. This is about justice. The captain died in a bar fight for nothing. Somebody has to answer for that. Then I can mourn.
Fantastic.
I love the staging in this show. It's so theatrical.
It's amazing. There's like, it's very soap opera influenced, but that was a great scene from Deanna. She did good stuff. She did good work. The next scene when he talks to the Admiral about his new mission, I think is really funny because the Admiral is just like very amenable to something that makes no sense.
Yeah, he switches.
At least they finally got the Admiral uniform right.
Yeah.
entire Federation. Now, I see that you've asked to postpone your mission to the Argus sector. For what reason?
I have a request, sir. I would like to conduct an investigation into Captain Picard's death.
The Desikan authorities have jurisdiction in this case, Commander.
I know that, sir. Frankly, I don't have much confidence in the authorities on Desikan 2. There's every reason to believe that they're corrupt.
Well, I suspect you're right. The question remains, are you the one to pursue this?
The captain's death hit me pretty hard. And I may not be completely objective.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one who is more determined. I won't rest until I find out who's responsible.
All right, Commander. I'm officially placing the Enterprise on detached duty. Your mission is
what?
At your discretion.
Okay. I'm fucking sorry about that. What are you talking about? They've never let Picard do anything he wants to do. Ever. It's like,
Riker's
a little bit
suaver.
It's crazy. He's like, well, I'm not the most objective. My point exactly. But I really want to. Okay. You go. Attaboy. It's so patriarchal. It really rubbed me. It really stuck in my craw.
That they let him investigate Picard's death?
It's crazy.
Don't you think it's because everybody loves Picard so much?
If they love Picard so much, they should have let Picard do cool things when he asked the upper echelons of the Federation. Every single time he asks, like, I want to go after these guys, the Federation would be like, no, you're so bad at everything you do. You gave the Borg guy back to the Borg. Everything you do sucks. It's ridiculous. And now...
Do you think they're just like, they don't want to lose Picard because he's so great?
Oh, maybe. They're like, well, your ship's pretty useless without Picard. You might as well go. We can get anybody else to do this other mission. You're not the Enterprise anymore. You're like, the Enterprise. Yeah, maybe. All right, well, you in the universe, explain that one, that fun bit away. Let's go to the next.
Yeah, that one didn't rub me. I mean, there's shit to criticize in this episode, and I feel like that's low on the priority list. This is like every cop movie where it's like, you killed my partner. Aren't you too close to this? Please, you got to give me a chance. All right. This is them just doing business.
It's the story. It's the Law and Order judge that's like, I'll allow it.
There's two big business moments. There's this one where they have to like justify why the fuck they're letting him like investigate this shit. And then there's the other one where they explain the energy sheath, where your eyes kind of glaze over, where they have to do all this work on why they can't find the ship.
Yep. Yeah. They have to do a lot of technobabble, but the scene in Griffith Park is mostly just shooting. But then right after it, we get a cool cameo from...
That extra that Riker talks to in the Griffith Park.
That is a really good scene.
She acts with her mouth open. She's just like...
It's like, well, I don't have any lines, so...
I want to do that. I want to silently just, like, gesticulate weirdly.
This is season 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and they let the one ensign who normally doesn't have lines, they give her a lot of stuff to do on the bridge, which is kind of nice to see.
I saw that, too. I was like, leave her.
And she's great. She was in the Cosby Show.
Yes. I was like, leave her there. Why don't we ever just, I don't know... Keep like a black woman ensign just with speaking lines to just be that person. Why does it have to be Data?
She played Sandra Huxtable. That's Sandra. This is the extra that Riker gives verbal direction to, who cannot respond because she's an extra.
I'm gonna head for those trees over there. If I can get there, we might be able to set up a crossfire.
Great job. These guys fucking fuck. They're so cool looking. They're a bunch of Van Halen. All right, so they... So it's a Vulcan lady, a redhead lady of some species, a guy from Van Halen, and then they take Riker away. And that's what happens. For the listeners at home.
So some convenient rock walls to hide behind, some good shields, great look.
I love seeing them in sequence, just like our three heroes just in sequence, just get behind the rocks one by one. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was cute.
Jordy actually hops in front of a rock wall. They're still firing at him and he like hops in front of a thing. Like,
well, he's such a master engineer that he knows.
Master at like, chill.
Yeah, getting in front of the rock can throw people off so much that they'll shoot around you. I mean, that's next level shit.
It's really a... he's on a whole new thing. Mm-hmm.
That mercenary that looks like a... To me, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, this looks like the Neverland kids. That's the sign of the mercenaries. If like the Neverland kids,
like Rufio.
Were taken out. Yeah, he's Rufio. Like if they were taken out.
Yeah.
You know who he reminded me of is the kid, in Big, his best friend.
Big? I didn't watch Big.
Big, the movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah. I don't remember it to a degree that I would remember his best friend.
Though. So his name is Jared Rushton. And this is him. And I think that's what he looks like.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
He looks, and it took me a long, I've been trying to, he's the kid from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids as well.
Yes. Yes. Ugh.
No wonder.
Yeah.
He just seemed familiar.
These are the mercenaries.
I love this guy.
How long will it take to repair?
I can try to realign the core. It'll take at least a
Love him.
Bran. Is that, what's his name? Bran. So I love this guy because he's got like a pretty good Brooklyn accent.
You mean the tech support guy that is always put upon?
No, the leader of the bad guys.
The leader. He doesn't work that. But I like the tech support guy who's like, ugh.
Tech support guy, he's the guy who I think looks like the kid from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
He's got like that 80s kind of like what Bart Simpson hair would look like in real life, except with a mullet.
Yeah.
Which Bart probably would end up there anyway.
Yeah. It's shocking that Bart didn't have a mullet, huh?
I know, but like imagine those like four triangles like plopping out of his yellow neck. It would be a thing.
It would be a question as to what it was.
I think maybe in future, a couple future Barts have like kind of a mullet.
I think so, yeah.
Like when
he's
a stripper.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got kind of a mullet. The main bad guy is in a great movie called Invasion USA, where he plays like the lead terrorist that Chuck Norris has to kill. He's a great kind of corny bad guy.
Corny bad guy.
He looks like a Labyrinth, right?
David Bowie.
All I kept thinking of is David Bowie.
Yeah,
Labyrinth.
It was a while where movie villains always had that haircut.
He's not great at picking people since most of his men are undercover.
One of the worst casting directors of his own journey that I've ever seen.
But I'll have to shut the engines down completely.
We're not stopping. We can't afford to be sitting
here. You're right, Brooklyn.
Space. I want Warp 8 available in 5 hours.
I want Warp 8.
Warp 8.
Give me Warp 8.
Warp 8.
What were you doing on Baratus 3?
He thinks he's really...
Commander SC, 231-427.
That's a real move to just say his rank and name.
Well, I am Octus Baran, and I don't have a number.
I don't have a number.
Now, what were you doing on Baratus 3, Commander?
We were studying the ruins. It was a scientific expedition.
Bullshit.
Don't patronize me. Those ruins have been studied for centuries. There's nothing new to learn from them.
Then what were you doing there?
Go, Nyx!
Yup, he's got a neck gizmo.
Commander, you can't remove it. It's a neural servo connected directly to your nervous system.
It's a neural servo.
It lets me control precisely how much pain you feel. The setting is usually sufficient. However, if necessary...
However!
I can go much higher.
How long do you think that guy spends, like, in the bathroom after the shower?
After the shower?
After shower.
Reflecting?
What happened to him?
Doing several products, just, like, getting it right, you know?
This is a waste of time, Baran. Get rid of him now.
Her eyebrow, patient, her eyebrows are gold. They're like rewarding.
Made
they
of gold.
They look like little levers. Wait.
Let the memory of his pain.
That's a pretty poetic. Let the memory of his pain argue with him for a while.
I know. I read that line and was like,
get
whoa.
Rid of him. Yeah. It's dangerous having someone from Starfleet on board.
Dangerous? Might be profitable. A Starfleet
commander
is a valuable hostage.
Starfleet won't negotiate with us, but they'll pursue us as long as we have him.
This discussion is over. Get back to your post, Vale.
Like,
I feel like they didn't. I like the look of these guys. I don't think they figured. Oh, it's Galen!
I love you, Dad!
Galen the Great.
No.
Dad?
Daddy!
So daddy.
I love that he had to turn around and then look up to realize it was Picard when the first word you hear, you're like, Picard is here, he's alive. Like,
I like when Riker gets into his full, like they give him the crazy hair future where Borg took over, like frame of mind Riker face.
Oh, whenever Riker's hair is messed up, you know things are not going
frame of mind hair.
Things are fucked up.
Give me that frame of mind face.
Let's see.
So the ship looks pretty bad, I think. If I'm going to criticize something from this episode, I think the look of the ship is not good. It's hard to do bad guys' ships because it's hard to be a master of space travel and also be a ruthless bad guy. Like, they kind of don't always go hand in hand. Like, it's always what's a little ridiculous about Klingons and stuff.
There's, it looks like a ship from TOS a little bit. Especially the comms. They're just like a bunch of goobly gobbledy like circles and shit, which isn't.
Yeah, it looks like it's a like a Chuck E. Cheese type place where a kid would have a birthday.
They already usually use like low lighting for bad guys' ships. They don't actually have to do that much. But unfortunately, they did.
It's pretty well
someone
lit.
Was doing a little too much. A little too much
it looks
lighting.
A little bit like a British workplace comedy.
Yeah. And you wonder, maybe they did borrow a ship from a British workplace comedy. Yeah, we're out of ships in our budget. If you could lend us.
The bridge of that ship is a redress of the USS Enterprise D's battle bridge. With the most notable elements remaining from the original set being the view screen and the ceiling.
The Enterprise D's nuts.
That's right.
Right?
That's the one I like to ride.
That's the ship I like to ride.
And big casting in this one is you got Savick from Star Trek 3 and 4 playing a Romulan.
Oh, is that the lady?
Yeah, she's the one that has to nurture.
I knew I recognized her.
A Ponfaring Spock in Star Trek 3.
I knew I recognized her dulcet tones.
Lieutenant Savick. Mm-hmm. The search for Spock.
Originally played by, what's her name from Cheers?
B.B. Newworth.
No. What's her name?
No?
Fucking, you totally agree with her politics. She's like your political icon.
Oh.
Rhea Perlman?
Elizabeth Warren?
No. Christy Alley. That's Alice's like kind of political idol.
She's my political, like more of a, like a, yeah, she's like my political mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah, Christy Alley and Robin Curtis.
I like the guess of Elizabeth Warren.
Just like throwing things famous, out there, you know?
Yeah. The actor
Senator.
From Cheers, Elizabeth Warren. That's how she made a name for herself in Massachusetts. They all knew her as like, that professor who's always drinking at Cheers.
You know, if you get local beers on tap, we could support these local communities that are working so hard here in...
That's so good.
You're welcome. You're welcome, all of you.
That's so good.
Pocahontas, you mean? shut up, Armis.
He's also on Cheers. he like floats
Armis!
In. Armis!
my fucking wife.
You want a beer? I hate beer, but he still gets one.
what I love about this, like how committed and good Picard is at pretending to be an entire second person with an entire second agenda. Like,
oh, he's got my favorite line. What a tangled web we weave.
What a tangled web we weave.
He's so good at it.
I mean, like, this is a really funny episode because there's so many double crosses. There's too many.
Yeah, and he makes a note of it at a certain point.
Yeah, there's many guys. When he can't keep it straight anymore, I'm like, yeah, the writers have just had enough.
Jean-Luc Picard is an Aquarius.
This episode, so much of it, I'm like, man, making TV's hard.
Oh, that's not, I don't feel like that's a good thing. We can skip right to the scene where he just hits Picard, because I feel like if we see this entire scene, we'll run out of time. But there's a great moment where Picard's like, so we have to pretend to be enemies. And you understand that that means you'll get closer to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Riker's like, yeah, that makes sense. We should do that.
But if you and I become enemies, then there's a better chance of you and he becoming friends.
All right. I'll do what I can.
Okay, the door opens. Oh, shit. He hits him right away. That, didn't see that coming.
What are you doing here?
Getting some answers. Because you can't get him to talk.
No one conducts an interrogation on this ship without my permission. Is that understood?
I think the makeup in this episode looks really great, except I don't know that much about makeup. I'm curious how long it takes teeth to get made, because one thing I'll give the Klingons and like Quark or a lot of the Ferengi are they give them teeth, fake teeth, which fucks up their speech, and that's why all the Ferengi all sound like, well, why?
Human.
Yes. Hey, human, what can I do you for? Like, they can't really move their fucking mouths around that much. But in this episode, especially since the shit is all like HD now, everybody's human teeth really look funny with all these fucking prosthetics on, like all around them.
Right. Exactly. It's just like because they had them whitened.
Yeah. And they're even like kind of like 80s, like yellowy teeth, but they're just clearly, it's like, oh, this is a guy with a costume on. Worf's got some good shit in this.
I think this is in the next episode, but Data yells at Worf, and it's probably the best. I think that is the next episode, but here's a preamble to that happening.
It's one of my favorite scenes in this.
In the whole series.
Some kind of signal from the mercenary ship. These are Commander Riker's access codes. He's attempting to shut down our shields.
That doesn't make sense. He knows those codes would have been changed as soon as he was captured.
That is correct, Counselor. He does know. Mr. Worf, prepare to drop shields.
Sir.
God, they make Worf so stupid. We would be
totally defenseless.
I know.
I'm aware of that.
Sir, as soon as they see
us... Mr. Worf, that is an order.
So great to see Troy in the blue outfit, huh?
I love her in blue.
It worked. The shields are dropping.
It took them seven fucking seasons to put her in a fucking Starfleet uniform.
Yeah, see?
And there are no medical officers on the Enterprise, like, in comparison to the other ones, so it's nice to have the blue on there.
Yeah, it's a real palette. It's a nice pop of blue right there on the bridge. So, that's the last scene of that episode in which Data both has to put Worf in his place a little bit, and he has to also begin to participate in the titular gambit, which is then like the, for some reason, this dipshit mercenary like captain is allowing both
Baran.
Picard and Riker. Baran is allowing both Picard and Riker to control his ship.
Mm.
And so they're fake firing on the Enterprise, and the Enterprise is fake firing back and like pretending it gets hurt. And Baran's like, great, now let's get out of here.
Yeah, they had to make Baran a little too stupid.
Baran is an idiot.
They should have made Baran undercover. They should have also made him a Federation officer.
But yeah, that's that episode. A little boring. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all of the latest Forever Dog news.